vision? Are we looking at the right object? Are we utilizing the correct instrument? Are we seeking the correct view? These are only a few of the potential questions if we really want to deeply study what vision is all about, and if we really want to seek something better than we're experiencing at the moment. Mary Baker Eddy stated in a letter to a student, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" It seems to be obvious that what she refers to is not something that is planned, but something unexpected that is a temptation to let it influence our thought, speech, or action in a negative way. In the Blue Book, around page 212 or 222, Mary Baker Eddy gives us her definition of spiritual vision, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. And in each case, it has nothing to do with any so-called material organ that is supposedly the function of which is to do those five physical sense activities. But she doesn't give any credence to a physical sense activity, but devotes all effort to changing our focus to a spiritual dimension. She took time out of her day several times each day to think about everything she was doing and whether or not it related to a spiritual view. Was she always looking for the good, for the best? She felt it was so important to do that, that she took specific time several times a day to do exactly that. Are we allocating specific time each day to see if we are looking, talking, and only acting good? Daniel set aside three times a day to pray. He was not fearful that he would lose his life, even though it was against the king's orders to only pray to the king. Jesus' disciples, all except for John, were too chicken to go to the crucifixion. They put themselves above Christ Jesus. And of course, they ended up all losing their lives. Only John was able to demonstrate ascension. Only John was good enough to be considered by Jesus to be able to have the book of Revelations dictated to him by Jesus. Loyalty to truth and to those who are expressing the truth with the goal of destroying error, no matter what its face looks like, for error operates on deception and will continue to do so as long as we let ourselves be fooled and do not recognize error in its many faces, and therefore use the excuse that one let error get its foot in the door because it was not recognized. One needs to realize that truth is the opposite of error, But the more advanced one becomes in their pathway to the infinite progression, leading to concrete being, that error becomes more and more deceptive in mocking the truth, that it looks very much like it. Truth is defined by being the opposite of error, but the appearance can look almost exactly the same. One would think, as one advances in their spiritual pathway, that they would see less and less of error. However, the truth is that the aggressive nature of animal magnetism is such that it becomes more aggressive and thus more difficult to recognize and defeat. And it operates on seemingly a continuous cycle without interruption. If one has success in treatment, it is very important to include protection against reversal. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that one of the most dangerous times in the process of healing is when one is at the point that they feel the healing is complete. And one of the reasons is that one feels that error is defeated, and therefore they can stop any and all devotion to bringing about the spiritual advancement, which is followed by the healing. In science, there is no time for relaxation, no time for celebrating. Because what must be recognized is that every healing is a natural evolvement and not the attainment of something great. Every healing should be recognized as being what was expected and be grateful that one's eyes have been opened up enough to be able to recognize that the healing is a reality, but also that it always was a reality. In other words, that perfection always was the reality and always was the real existence. And the only healing that needed to take place was within one's own consciousness, where one recognized that error could have no power, but the truth was always true and was always in operation. So it was the viewpoint that was corrected. One shouldn't celebrate that 3 times 4 equals 12, but only be grateful that it was revealed to them that that was the correct product of those two numbers utilizing the operation of multiplication or addition. They could add up 4 3 times, or they could add up 3 4 times, or they could simply multiply 3 by 4, which is the shortcut. In science, there is always a shortcut. The shortcut is going to God first, not meandering around until one is exhausted and worn out and say, I give up. I'm going to God because nothing else works. Mr. Winslow states that there's always a phone in the room that is ringing, trying to get one's attention, and there's always a radio, which is a pronouncement of the qualities of God. We have to make sure that we do not pick up the phone, because that is a duplex instrument whereby both can talk at the same time, argue with each other, and each one has the ability to hear the other one. Mary Baker Eddy states that argument is one method of healing, but it's not the most divine. The most divine is a more absolute approach, as opposed to the relative approach, which is what argument is. Mary Baker Eddy begins Science and Health after the preface and after the introductory quotes with the chapter on prayer. That is the bottom level. That is the beginning. If one would look at a matrix that is four columns wide and four lines tall, the bottom left cell would be labeled prayer. The bottom row of that 16-cell matrix would represent the relative level, and the top row would represent the divine level. So Mary Baker Eddy introduces us to the bottom row first, so that we realize that we are at the level where we have to recognize that there is a problem. She indicates that there are four steps in doing this. The lowest step is the analysis. The next step up is the exposure. The next step up from that is the eradication. And the next step up from that is the science. Science is where we recognize only the absolute, the divine. In the definition of God, page 465 from chapter 14, Recapitulation, Mary Baker Eddy states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite represents the four operators, which are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. John Morgan points out, who was a wonderful Christian Scientist, that before one can even think about the Word, one needs to be at that point where they have exhausted their efforts in trying to utilize the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. In other words, one has come to the point where they see no other alternative than to yield to what they hope is something in a higher dimension than what they've tried up to that point. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that the humanity of Jesus is what enabled his divinity. In other words, he had to demonstrate the highest level of humanity in order to be able to touch the divinity. So in other words, he had to start at the lowest level that was relative, which was seeing that there was a problem that needed to be corrected. That is the relative level, because you're recognizing something other than the absolute. In other words, there was a problem that had to be faced. One had to analyze and find out what the problem was, expose the error that was trying to interfere with the harmony of God's idea, exposing it so that the error could be eradicated, and then one would be at the level of success. The Word represents the facts about God. The Christ represents the interpretation or translation of what seems to be coming our way that needs to be corrected. And Christianity is demonstrating the truth about the situation. And when that healing is successful, then one is in the level of the science where one has healed the line of thought that attempted to interfere with the manifestation of God. In looking at those four words, incorporeal means that there's not a single fact about God that is corporeal. Because the incorporeal, again, represents the Word, and the Word represents the facts about God. Divine is the translation and interpretation, so there can't be any translation or interpretation that is lower than divine. And the third one is supreme, which is the demonstration, so there cannot be any demonstration that is unsuccessful. It has to be supreme. It has to be above every lower dimension. And every dimension is lower than supreme. So in other words, the supremacy of the wholeness and the completeness of God's idea has to be demonstrated with perfection. Spirit is flawless, because there is no matter therein. Just like mind is immortal because there is no mortality in it. Soul is spiritual sense because spirit is the only substance. So any sense that we apply in our interpretation and translation has to be based on spirit, the flawlessness of spirit. The principle of science is in operation all the time, and it is infinite. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. So all four of those words apply to all seven of the synonymous terms for God, but they are the operators, just like math includes the elements of add, subtract, multiply, and divide as operators. So the 10 digits of 0 to 9 mean nothing by themselves because they have to be activated with the operations of the add, subtract, multiply, and divide. We have to activate the word Christ, Christianity, and science and apply it to the seven synonymous terms, so that the algorithm is going to provide a product that is going to be successful, getting us into the level of science, whereby we have come to the point in our thought that we no longer accept any part of relativity, but only the absolute. Mr. Rosen, when he was looking out a window with Mr. Spalding, saw an animal upset a load of rocks on the man that was the driver that had gotten out of the driver's seat and went back to inspect it, and he was covered up with rocks. Mr. Rosen was able to have a clear enough understanding of the absolute that he didn't even have to go through the four steps in his thinking to expose the error or to do any analysis or to eradicate the error. He did it all in one coincidental step. everything was in synchronization, so that all he had to do was to make the statement that there is nothing but God. Nothing was denying the air. God was indicating that that was the only thing that was real. And is was talking in present tense, meaning right now. And he demonstrated that the only time is right now. He's the one that discovered how to do retroactive treatment, or treating backwards, whereby the treatment would take effect prior to the time that he did any work in bringing about the healing. So he had a very good understanding of the fact that there is no time and there is no space, because he was able to overcome them both on a continuous basis, and he stated that he had over 500 healings where he was successful in doing that. One can decide that they will only look at good, which is what Mary Baker Eddy did on a consistent basis, and set aside time several times a day to do exactly that. It was just like anyone else that was exercising their profession. She exercised her understanding that there was no life, truth, and intelligence in matter, but that all was infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. In other words, all was good. All was spirit. Spirit is another term for good. In the glossary, on the same page where the definition of God states that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, is the definition of good. And she defines it as being God, spirit. So, spirit is good. Spirit is flawless. Good is spirit. No matter, no belief of matter in any shape or form. The Indians had a lake that was beautiful, with the surroundings perfectly reflected in the water. They called it the smile of the Great Spirit. That's what we should be looking for continuously without interruption. If we do that, we will always be looking for a blessing in everything that comes our way that tries to interfere with our forward progress, our infinite progression, our path to concrete being. Again, that's not a one-time event. That is a continuous pursuit. Mary Baker Eddy was talking to one of her students, and she says, "What do you think about when you see a stray dog or you see a disabled person or you see an accident?" She said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" The student knew what he should be doing, but he knew he wasn't doing it. And so he said, "No, Mrs. Eddy, I am not a Christian Scientist." We are supposed to be making a difference in the world. We are not supposed to be just lazily accepting whatever comes our way, but we're supposed to be making a difference by rejecting any form that is unlike God, grabbing onto whatever is the appropriate affirmation that reverses the thought that is being presented to us, no matter what form it takes, and not giving up until the correction is well embedded in thought, such that it totally replaces the temptation to believe anything that is unlike God. Vision is dynamic. There is nothing at all about anything involving Christian Science which is static. life is dynamic. If we're going to be exercising the qualities of God, there is always a dynamo which is going on. A dynamo is a tool that in combustion engineering measures the power or the performance of the engine that is being analyzed. Engineers use it in order to do everything possible to alter the engine so that the performance is the maximum that they can possibly produce from the physical parts that are being used in the engine. And they make all kinds of adjustments, all kinds of tuning, all kinds of design changes so that they are able to get the maximum performance. That's what we need to be doing with our thought, our speech, and our action. I had a longtime friend that was a lifelong Christian Science practitioner, and she said, "Does it need to be said?" She reminded me that there shouldn't be any conversation unless it needs to be said. In other words, that whoever we were talking to was so closed in thought that they needed to have an alarm clock that awakened them so that they could then realize that they needed to be listening to a different line of thought. The truth. Jesus stated that we should only say yea, yea, and nay, nay. In other words, don't be arguing with anybody about anything, and that includes a mortal mind so-called suggestion. The focus needs to be on recognizing the absolute nature of reality and not be trying to justify how we get there. Mr. Rosen states that there should be a very short denial of error, whatever seems to be the symptom of the problem, and then jump immediately into thinking about what God is, what heaven is, and that that's where we want to reside. So that is where our thought explores the details. The details about God, the details about the truth about God's manifestation, which of course is a part of God. If we're going to look for good several times a day, as did Mary Baker Eddy, we cannot be spending any time on the opposite, the theory that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Dr. Einstein made some very wonderful statements about Mary Baker Eddy and said, "Blessed art thou, because everything that is in this book." He was referring to Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures. And he also said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." And that was around 1950. And he is the one that experienced his close friend, Dr. Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission, as being the only one that survived the radiation that everyone was exposed to on the commission when they were exploring how to break down the atom and make the atom bomb and all that kind of stuff. And he witnessed that his friend was the only one that survived the radiation. Everyone else was gone. They had succumbed to the radiation and they were dead. So he really stood up and took note and then really got serious about studying Mary Baker Eddy's writings. And he made the statement, when he was coming out of one of the churches one day in Chicago. He said, "I don't think you folks really know what you have here." He had spent his whole life doing research on matter, trying to discover the root notions of the universe, trying to understand what light was all about. He said he would love to be riding a beam of light across the universe. That means he would have overcome time, because the speed of light is supposedly where one can overcome time. And that's what these quantum computers are supposed to do, be able to make computations at the speed of light so that there can be time travel. We learn in Christian Science that everything is mental, so we don't need a quantum computer because we have God. God is the source of all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing, all capability, all functionality, all facility, all capacity, and therefore the source of all performance, also all creative ability. And you put those things together, and you not only get performance, but you get performance that is of an infinite nature, and therefore power, which is a measurement of performance, is infinite. That's how we are able to verify that God is omnipotent and not a limited power. There are no acts of God which are evil. The fraud in the insurance industry that tries to get out of paying insurance claims because they claim it to be an act of God is just one more trick to deceive the public. And we must be alert to this and not be a victim of it. Not devote our hard-earned dollars to paying something that is based on fraud. Life insurance is really death insurance, but they're afraid to call it what it is because they know no one will want to buy it. Casualty insurance is the term for things such as fire insurance. It's not a casualty. It's the absence of truth. It's like going into a casino. The deck is already shuffled against the visitor because the house takes its profit out in the beginning. Takes it off the top. There is no even distribution. The tremendous cost of these fancy casinos is not an accident, it's an enticement. Mary Baker Eddy said that the way one uses their moments is often the difference between success and failure. If we want to have perfect vision and not be dependent upon so-called material organs, and therefore we want to let God be the seeing that Mary Baker Eddy says that he is in the definition of God in the glossary, chapter 17 of Science and Health, where she says God is all seeing. God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing. If we really want to let God be our seeing, then we've got to be looking for good. Because God doesn't know anything but itself. God only knows good. We cannot be looking for criticism. We cannot be looking for faults. Dr. Fluno, which was one of Mary Baker Eddy's earliest lecturers and one she selected herself, wrote a very short paper. It's like a page and a half on criticism. We have it on the website. Everyone mentioned is on the website, and their publications are on the website. And it's also available in MP3, audio. It's a wonderful thing to listen to continuously. It is not intended to be a one-time study. It should be a continuous study, because that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy was doing when she was devoting several times a day to be focusing on good. That means the exclusion of criticism, the exclusion of finding fault, the exclusion of thinking about evil or anything unlike God whatsoever, no matter what form it may take. P3, or read the short little page and a half article, every hour, it would not be too often. Jesus didn't criticize. Mary Baker Eddy was known for her high sense of love. Love is the opposite of criticism. Love is seeing the perfection. Love is the seventh part of the seven-step process of the unfoldment of the days of creation. It is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That means that those qualities of mind, which have already been mentioned in this recording, and the qualities of spirit, which are flawlessness, transparency, and reflection, and the spiritual senses, which is spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, which is the only way to properly identify anything, because the only substance is spirit, and principle, which is balance, which is the opposite of chaos, which is harmony, which is an uninterruptible operation of God's laws, and life, which is fatherhood, which is strength, courage. It's exercising all of God's qualities. Truth, which is consciousness, motive. Being aware of what one is facing, sticking to the path, which is the shortest distance to God, by staying on the path of truth, and love, which means that you have recognized the qualities of the prior six synonymous terms, and you've been exercising them in all thought, speech, and action. And if you do that, your vision will definitely be better than what it could ever be if you weren't doing that. And of course, real vision is perfect. If one curls up their forefinger next to their thumb and makes a very small orifice, like looking through a telescope or a microscope, one will see more clarity than they will ever see if they're not looking through a small circular orifice. That's the reason why the aperture of a telescope or a microscope is very small, because not only do they utilize a magnifying facility, but they are forcing one to look through a small orifice so that it also magnifies the clarity of what they're viewing. They have these glasses that are called peephole glasses, and they are glasses that have no lens in them, but just something solid, and then it has all these little holes drilled in it. One can have what is considered to be imperfect vision, and they look through those peephole glasses, and they'll see with 20/20 vision, because it is forcing the focus to be through the little holes. That's what we need to be doing when Mary Baker Eddy refers to, can you focus no matter what comes your way? We need to be focusing on truth, reality, spirit, the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of mind. the harmony of principle, the activity, the multiplication faculty of life, the true nature, the fixedness of truth, whereby there is no deviation, and the wholeness of love. And to get to the wholeness of love, we need to nurture all the other qualities. We need to nurture the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. And when we do that, it's like having a garden. Our garden is our consciousness. We need to have a garden where we have a fertile soil, where we plant the seed of truth, and we need to nurture it. We need to give it the nutrient, the watering, and the care and the love to bring it forth so it will bloom into this beautiful love. The love that is composed of only spirit. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that one wonders how one person who loves another can only see that person in a loving way. We should be seeing every individual in a loving way. There is only one truth about anyone who is an idea of God, and ideas of God are the only thing that exists. There are like 8.3 billion people that are ideas of God. Every single one is not a person, but they are an individual reflection of the one incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. They are a reflection of God that is the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. They are a reflection of good, which is defined as God, spirit, and then the four omnis of omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Is that where our focus is? In the beginning, it was asking, are we looking at the right object? Are we using the right instrument? Are we utilizing the right view? The object is the idea of God, the manifestation of God. The instrument is the lens of spirit. The view is the view of love. Love is the ointment, the lubricant that lets only perfection be seen. It eliminates all friction. Like two gears coming together that is fully lubricated and they are silent. Or like viewing an object in motion inside a glass container such that there is no friction, and so the motion continues indefinitely. It could be a pendulum swinging back and forth, or any kind of an action. They have been able to suck out anything that could be an interference to the motion that's intended to entertain one. We need to be entertained by the truth. We need to be entertained by the perfection of love, by the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, the capacity, capability, functionality, facility of mind, the creative ability of mind, the performance of mind, the omnipotence of mind, the omnipresence, omniaction, omniscience, and omnipresence of mind, the flawlessness of spirit, transparency and reflection of spirit, the spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, so that the identity of soul gives us the spiritual identity. of whatever we're viewing. The activity of life, the vivaciousness, and therefore the multiplication of the good that comes as a result of exercising the qualities of God. The fixedness, the absence of deviation that is in truth, where we are conscious of the truth, where we are exercising a perfect motive so that all thought, speech, and action is the algorithm that brings forth the result of perfect action. And the wholeness and completeness of love, because we nurtured all of the qualities from a spiritual perspective, looking through the lens of spirit, training ourselves so that we only recognize as truth and reality that which is spirit. Vision is a function of the things that were discussed in this recording. Will we take the extra effort that Mary Baker Eddy took and that Jesus took and other great Christian Science students who made a difference by providing to us inspired revelations that they developed as a result of their own consistent, perseverant, unforgiving consistency of exercising principle? Are we going to make that extra effort? Do we want to see with the vision of spirit? Or do we want to look through a pair of glasses darkly? It's an individual choice. It's an individual salvation that each one must work out on their own. Mary Baker Eddy says that we will be plenty busy taking care of our own consciousness without meddling in someone else's business. I attended a Wednesday evening meeting one time, and this lifelong Christian Scientist stood up and gave a testimony. I didn't know who she was until after the fact, because I was so impressed with her that I went up to her and introduced myself and started a relationship with her so that she would be the one that would be my go-to person if I ever needed any kind of assistance. And she said that she received a call from someone who was seeking assistance from her for Christian Science treatment. And she said, after listening to the call, I knew the very first thing that I needed to do was to clear out of my own consciousness every single thing that they told me that was unlike God. That was so novel to me, because I had had a couple practitioners over the years before that time. Not a single one took that kind of approach. And one of them was one that I was a student of that took class instruction from that individual. Never any mention about clearing our own consciousness first. I asked her in private sometime later, I said, tell me how you go about a treatment. And of course, she started with that same process. And I said, how long does that take? She said, oh, it depends. It can take a few minutes or it could take up to a half an hour. But she says, if you don't do that, you can't begin at zero. You're beginning at a negative. And that's not what you want to do. She said, you got to begin on an even level. You have to do it first. You must do it first. That's what will give us an opportunity to have the spiritual view all the time. As Mr. Rawson says, there is nothing but God. That's what we have to know. We have to stick to that truth continuously without interruption. Amen.